Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm librarytalker.blogspot.com and Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So I finished this book about a week or so ago, but it's just been like hovering in the back of my head. Let's start off. It's The Empire High Untouchables by Ivy Smoke. S-M-O-A-K. And so I think I've seen the original cover of this a few times, but the new cover that's on Facebook is what drew me in. It pulled me in on my Facebook ads, and I went, oh, let me look at this up, and it had some good reviews, and I was like, all right, let me try it. It's a YA novel, so this is gonna be full of spoilers, of course, but Don't read this one. So it starts off with Brooklyn, and she has just lost her mother. So she's now living in the apartment that her mother used to live in. Her mom got pregnant when she was really young. Just before she gave birth, she kind of like just left home and went off and had Brooklyn, and then they lived a life together, single mom, daughter, that kind of thing. Mom raised her, and then she took care of mom when mom got sick, and then mom died. And so Brooklyn's about 16, 17 years old. And now she has moved back into her mom's old apartment, where her uncle has taken over the lease on it. And he lives there in New York. So she's barely knows him, but she's living with him because that's where mom sent her. And so now she's being sent to this ultra, ultra exclusive high school where old money rules. The reason why she's able to go here, even though they're super poor, is her uncle is the janitor, so he gets her in for free. And they both lie about her being a scholarship student because they both think she doesn't want him embarrassed by people finding out that they're related, and he doesn't want her embarrassed by people finding out they're related. That whole janitor thing just seems like, don't let people know that in an old money school. Okay, fine, got it. She happens to have become very quickly best friends with the girl down the hall, who ends up also being a scholarship student to that school. A super ultra exclusive school in New York City. And she just happens to be next door to a scholarship student who's super, super smart, but also kind of, you know, BFF-y, whatever. So they go to school together to get, they travel to and from and that kind of stuff. And the best friend introduces her to basically the culture, including this group called the Untouchables. And it's this two pairs of brothers who both have first names that start with the same letter. So you have Mason and Matthew, and then James, and I can't remember his brother, but it also starts with a J. Mason and Matthew Caldwell and James and whatever Hunter. And these are like the super uber ubers. And there's also Isabella something or other, who is an absolute witch with a B. And so in order to make a little side cash, Brooklyn used to be a waitress, so she and her BFF, who is working for a catering company, decide, you know, the BFF gets her into the catering company, and so she is serving hors d'oeuvres and champagne and crap like that at parties on Friday and Saturday nights. And somehow her arms are like super tired, even though she was a waitress before. But she gets like, oh my gosh, my arms are so tired from carrying canapes. One of the very first parties that she works at is a party with the Untouchables attending, and she gets all insulted by Isabella, and she ends up cutting her hand somehow and runs off to the bathroom, and following her into the bathroom is Matthew Caldwell, who she major crushes on, And he helps her clean her hand and wrap it up and tells her how horrible Isabella is. And then he disappears before anybody can see him. And so, okay, she's now her crush is even more crushy because he came in and wrapped her hand. But then he didn't want to be seen with her. And so that's how we're kind of introduced to this relationship. I mean, the Untouchables are kind of like the Cullens in a way. Nobody gets close to them unless they let you. And then, so the author is just, she's wishy-washy. And I don't know if she's making the character wishy-washy on purpose, or if she's just wishy-washy, or she can't make up her mind, or she's kind of trying to stretch the story and is really bad at it. But Brooklyn falls in love with Matt, and Matt is apparently maybe in love with Brooklyn, but then he keeps ignoring her, but then he pays attention to her, and then he ignores her, and then he pays attention to her, and then he ignores her, and it keeps going back and forth. Back the whole book long, and apparently he's trying to protect her because Isabella has threatened to do something if he pays any attention to her. So he is nice to her when nobody can see them, but he's an absolute jerk and ignores her when anybody's around, until they get assigned to a group project, which it turns out he paid the teacher who loves the Untouchables because they pay him. He paid the teacher to put them into a group and lock it in. So now he can be in a group with Brooklyn and he has an excuse to talk to her. That won't get him in trouble with any of the other Untouchables or Isabella, who is really this horrible witch woman and threatens and does all kinds of things. And throughout the story, there's this weird subplot of her dad is someone. And the uncle knows who her dad is, but won't tell her. And so she doesn't know if she's related to anybody at the school. So she's constantly going, is that my brother? Is that my brother? Could that be my brother? Could that be my cousin? I don't want to, do I make out with Matthew? Cause he could be related to me. And then that would be gross. And it just keeps going. And the uncle's like, nope, I'm not going to tell you. Nope. I'm not going to tell you. Nope. I'm not going to tell you. Refuses to tell, refuses to hint, refuses to, except for to say, you know, well, it's okay if you hang out with that person. You don't have to worry, but only, you know, in that weird, yeah, he's fine. You don't have to, you know, you can, if you're dating him, that's okay. So just, it's just weird. And then we have, on top of that, we have another character who's Felix, and Felix is the drug dealer of the school, because, you know, you've got to have all the stereotypes, right? And Felix acts super nice to Brooklyn. They spend time during PE. He gets off the bench and he actually runs with her because she likes running. It's separate from everybody else. And so he runs with her and just tries to be her friend. And even though he's the drug dealer, he would never deal drugs to Brooklyn. No, they're BFFs. And he kind of wants to date her because she's just really nice and she never treated him like a drug dealer. And so he's constantly trying to flirt with her, except whenever she goes to one of his parties, he gets her high or drunk. But so he gives her the special punch, and she doesn't seem to notice that it tastes a little different. I don't know why she doesn't notice. She just drinks the punch, and oh my gosh, it's delicious, and then she's totally wasted. He's like, oh, I never knew. I didn't know you never had any. Oh my gosh, and if you come to another party, I swear I won't give you anything. And somehow he gets her. Then the next party she goes to, that's his party, she gets drunk again, and it's because he pressured her, even though he promised he wouldn't. And she's constantly forgiving him for that. You know, yeah, he got me drunk, but he promised he won't do it again. Yeah, he got me drunk again, but he promised he won't do it again. It's like, no. And then it's the same thing with Matthew. Yeah, he won't talk to me, but, you know, I'm never going to talk to him again because he's just so rude. And how dare he just turn on me like that? And then the next time he talks to her, okay, I totally understand. And now I love him again. And then, oh wait, he ignored me again. He's a jerk. He's a total, you know, I hate him. And it keeps doing that? It's all extremes. The wishy-washy is so extreme. I hate him. I love him. I hate him. I love him. For everything. And so we've got the constant, who's her daddy? We've got the constant, I hate him, I love him, between both Felix and Matthew. She wants to date Felix, but then he gets her drunk, and then, you know, he apologizes, but then there's Matthew, and then there's... So that's just annoying, basically. And then it turns out her uncle just kind of suddenly dies. And he knew he was sick, but he wouldn't tell her. He knew he was going to die, and that she would never be able to afford the apartment, and then so he signed legal documents to have her go live with BFF's family down the hall, and they knew, but they didn't tell her, and so his death is a complete shock and surprise. She has no idea that it's coming, and then he's dead, but now she's gonna go live with her BFF, and it's gonna be okay, right? She's going to be all right. And Matthew keeps coming back to the apartment because the lease, you know, has until the end of the month a lease in New York. So she packs up slowly and he keeps coming back to her apartment, sneaking in through the fire escape. Oh, yay. And they spend time together, not doing anything naughty besides a few little makeout sessions and cuddles, apparently, which is fine. But he won't show up in public with her. And she's like, I understand. It makes sense. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No. If a guy wouldn't know, you know. So she's getting ready. She goes to the funeral. There's the elegy. There's all the stuff that's going on. Even the principal and the faculty show up because it turns out they all really liked the janitor guy. And so they all show up and she's there and she's weepy appropriately and everything. And, Matthew's like, I'll take you home and just wait outside for a minute and I'll do whatever I need to do. And while she's outside and cold, some guy shows up in a car, on a limo or whatever. And, there's a limo outside and the guy shows up and he's an older guy. And you look cold, and he puts his jacket around her, and was like talking about, did you mean what you said when you talked about how you didn't know who your father was and you just didn't care? And she's like, what? Who the hell are you? And you know where this is going. And he's, well, you know, you're coming with me. And like, wait, what? And who the hell are you? And then the guy explains that he's her father, and she's like, I don't know who the heck you are. And then Matthew comes out and is like, oh my gosh, it's you. And it turns out it's Isabella's dad. And so, yeah, she was related to someone in the school. It was evil witch Isabella. And the dad basically has a couple of goons come out and drag her into a car and start to drive away with her. Even though the mom of the BFF is coming out going, no, I have legal custody. And he's like, yeah, that was really stupid because you got your lawyers are incompetent. So she's coming with me. And they drive off and he's like, ew, that was just really gross to be in the poor section of town. Ugh. And that's how you leave the end of the story, is they're driving off, and she's heading to his home to live with him and her half-sister Isabella, and you know the rest of it. It's just... So now she can be an untouchable, but she's also gonna have to deal with all that other stuff and whether or not Matt can talk to her because she's still enemies with Isabella, I'm sure, all this other stuff that's gonna happen. And I just don't care. That's how the book ends, and I just don't care. I pulled myself through this one because there were occasional moments, and I will say that the author has that ability to kind of drag you in, but then she shoves you right back out again. So on my scale, it's 1 to 5, 1 being avoid, police line, do not cross, you know, 5 being this is the best thing ever. Two being, three being, and four being, this is an, this is a two. And that's pushing it. I'm giving the two because, again, there are moments where it does draw you in. It is a very fast read. There are moments where you're like, okay, maybe I'm interested. I don't know. But then the wishy-washy happens. So it's a bear too. And so I'm giving a little bit of credit to the author for that, but otherwise it's really not worth your time. And I'm have no interest in reading the rest of them. I will say the new cover, was what drew me in. I probably would not have paid attention to this with the older cover, which is, you know, white with little purple drawings of the homes and, of the neighborhood or whatever, and a little, you know, or a little purple heart over it. And, oh, isn't it cute? But the new one is definitely a little bit more attractive, in its own little way, although it does kind of make you go, hey, you probably shouldn't be making people that, you know, it's 20-something, 30-something on the cover of a book about high schoolers, and making them look so good. Anyway, so, yeah, no, Ivy Smoke, S-M-O-A-K, Empire High Untouchables, and this is the first one. Just no. I'm just gonna say no. It just really isn't worth your time. Again, I know the Goodreads is like kind of one side or the other. People are either loving it or hating it. There's a lot of 5 stars and there's a lot of 1 stars. So if I'm, you know, there's, and the people who love it are probably people who are of the age that this is more aimed to. And, you know, or, oh my gosh, it's the best thing ever because it's got the insta-love and the cutie cute and all other stuff. But in the end, no. No, just two for me. So that's that book. And once again, I'd like to thank those of you who have been listening to my podcast and those of you who download it and everything. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. I would still love to see comments, just to know that it's not just an Autobot thingy just listening in. I'd like to know that there are real people on the other side of this. So if you would, and it would be so kind if you would, if you could leave a comment at librarytalker.blogspot.com, or I'm the library lady on Podomatic. Would love to hear from you. Otherwise, I really hope that you have a wonderful day. Thank you.